Turn to Micah chapter 5, one of the messianic prophecies we find in the Old Testament that we usually don't hear much about until this time of year, but it has quite a powerful message in it. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, I'll go ahead and read that. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And so what a marvelous prophecy that we have here of the coming Messiah being born of Bethlehem. When the wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the Messiah, and Herod asked the priests where the Messiah would be born, this is obviously the verse they looked to, and said, oh, he'll be born in Bethlehem. And so Herod then, of course, sent the wise men there. One thing I see in this, and that's, to me, is always an encouragement, because I'm just nothing, and if God can do anything with me, all the glory goes to him, is when it talks about Bethlehem, it says, though thou be little among the thousands. This tells us two things. Of course, obviously, that Bethlehem was just a little town at that point in time. But there were thousands of towns, some little, some big. God could have chosen any one, but he chose Bethlehem. And when I think about that and apply that to myself, God could have chosen anyone. Just because of the way I am, my personality, I wonder, why did God choose me to be a pastor? You know, I look at some pastors are so outgoing, and I think, man, I wish I could do that. And I try, and I fall flat on my face. I stutter and stumble. And I think, man, why did God ever choose me? But you know, that is the same with all of us. Because if we're saved, God chose us for something. We're saved for a reason. And that reason isn't just to twiddle our thumbs. But God has a specific ministry for you. Not everyone can do everything. But, just think about what Laura and Danita are doing. Just picking out names and sending the gospel message to them. You know, what a ministry. There's a lady in our previous church that her ministry was sending cards of encouragement to other people. There's something God has for all of us. Though we be little among the thousands, God has something for us. This reminds me of some of my favorite verses in Scripture. I think my favorite verse really is a passage. It starts at Genesis 1:1 and goes all the way through Revelation chapter 22. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I get encouragement from this, beginning in verse number 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so that's kind of a humiliating passage of Scripture to realize that God wrote that with me in mind. He wrote that with you in mind. We like to think we're something. We like to, we all have an ego of a sorts. But when God looks at us, he says, well, here's who you are. Here's who you are. But in Christ, because I'm going to finish the chapter, in Christ, that's not who we remain. Because he goes on to say, even though that's who we were, he says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so what God is saying there in verse 30 when he says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who are of God, of God is made unto us wisdom and right." He says, you're not the foolish or the weak any longer, but now you have the wisdom of all of heaven at your disposal. And you have all the strength and the power of an omnipotent God dwelling within you. And so we don't have to be that way anymore. And that's why it frustrates the world, the powerful and the wise of the world so much, because they look at us and realize who, as an individual, as a human being, we are, and they can't find or figure out where our wisdom and where our power comes from. Look at how many times throughout the history of the New Testament era that the church has been trying to be stamped out. That's what the Dark Ages, we've all learned about the Dark Ages. The part they usually don't tell you is that was the Roman Catholic Church trying to destroy biblical Christianity. That's what that was all about. And yet here we are today. I hope you never take what we have as a church and as our religious liberty for granted, because literally rivers of blood were spilled to allow us the freedoms we have. And so we're just insignificant. That's what I see back in Micah 5:2. The city of Bethlehem was just insignificant, little among the thousands. God could have chosen any city he wanted, but he chose that one for a reason. And that's the second point, just simply chosen. He says, "Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." And so God tells the whole point and purpose of it all. He says, "Unto me, unto me." See, when God gives us the ability to accomplish something, it's not for our own purpose. I remember way back before I went into the ministry, there was a lady that sang in the church we were in. We were only in that church for maybe 2.5 years. It was a pretty good-sized church, but there was a lady who sang fairly regularly. But I remember giving a testimony one time that she was given an offer to sing professionally. And she turned it down because she said that I dedicated my voice to sing for my Savior and I'll sing for no other. When we come to that kind of conclusion in our lives, God can use us. That everything we do, it's not to get a name for myself. It's not to get rich. It's just simply to bring glory to God. And that's as he's talking about Bethlehem being chosen. He says, you're chosen to bring glory to me. You're chosen to do something for me, for my benefit, to make my name great. That ruler coming to Israel isn't to make Bethlehem a significant place. And then the last thing we find about Bethlehem, it was insignificant, it was chosen, but it was also exalted. And I believe just simply because the one who's going forth, the last phrase in the verse, had been from of old, from everlasting. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that, of course, is not when he began to live. Now, we're pro-life. We think life begins at conception, not at birth. But Jesus was alive, of course, before conception. He's from of old. He's from everlasting, and he will be unto everlasting. And so Bethlehem was exalted in the fact that the God of the universe visited the little among thousands. And when we think of our own lives, who dwells within us? The Lord Jesus Christ. He visited us and stays with us. You know, with Bethlehem, he was there and then he left. It was just a short time that the family moved into Egypt because Herod was going to slaughter all the babies. And God warned Joseph in a dream to take the family to Egypt, then told them to come back. But they went north into Nazareth. And so he wasn't there long. Aren't you glad he does differently with us? And when he comes and dwells within us, he stays. And he indwells us. He's that, through the Holy Spirit of God, he's that seal unto the day of redemption. And so now we too are exalted in the fact that though we be little among thousands, God Himself chose to dwell within us and to help us and to guide us through life. And so Micah chapter 5, 2, what a powerful verse. A lot in there, we're just scratching the surface. I didn't want to have a long, drawn-out message after we all ate so much. We may be insignificant, but the world can never rule us out. With God, it doesn't matter. Little among thousands, and yet He chooses to use us. And so we can take great encouragement, and we should take great motivation from that to make sure we're always busy for God. All right? Well, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we're so grateful for this time we've had together, and just grateful that You choose to use us. Father, though we may not be the biggest church in the area, Father, we just pray that You would help us to be faithful in getting the gospel out. And Father, that through our efforts that You would bless that, and that souls would be saved and rescued from the fires of hell and delivered to the glories of eternity in heaven. So Father, we just ask that You'd receive all the glory from this. Now, Lord, as we are dismissed, may Your blessings go with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.